Okay, well, let's turn to Ephesians 4. And verse 28, we're going to start this week. We talked last week about verse 25 to 27, and we talked about speaking the truth. We talked about not lying to one another. And when we talked last week, we could see in the context, and when we talked about laying aside falsehood, yeah, speaking the truth to everyone is something, but it's just specifically talking about the brethren here, the members of one another, it says in verse 25. We talk about what being angry and not sinning was. We talk about what not letting the sun go down on your anger was, and not giving the devil an opportunity. And when we look into that, Paul is beginning to list here, since we have been renewed, or being renewed, and we've put on the new self, created in righteousness and holiness, as it says in verse 24. Now he's starting a list of things of character traits, if you will, that they're needing to work on. And we can take these as a complete legalistic, like we kind of talked last week about the, not letting the sun go down on your anger. Hopefully it doesn't end before, hopefully you don't get angry at 4:30 tonight because the sun sets and it's dark at 4:45. So you don't have any time. You could be a legalistic. Yeah, you could, yeah. Yeah, that's right, Bob and Larry, yeah. I remember they did do that deal on VeggieTales that one time. They hold their eyes open because they were mad at each other. Yeah. So, that can be taken a legalist way. And the same thing, this next verse can also be taken a legalist way. But I think if we look at it a little bit differently and how and the principle behind it, we're going to see that it applies and it's something that all of us maybe could can work on. So we're going to start reading in Ephesians 4, someone read verse 28, please.
Let him who steal no longer, but rather let him labor, performing with his own hands what is good, in order that he may have something to share with him who has need.
Okay, so we could take this and we could just fly past verse 28. Okay, so whoever steals, let him steal no longer. Okay, so Paul is specifically here, it could be taken and be said, Paul is specifically talking to those who are robbers, like those who are crucified with Jesus. You know, those guys just really need to repent. Doesn't really apply to me here because I'm not a robber. But when we're looking here, I think the question could be asked: is this just limited to the so-called thief? And when we're looking at let him who steals steal no longer. But the rest of the verse, but let him labor, performing with his own hands, doing what is good, in order that he might have something to share with those in need. Thinking about that for a second, performing with his own hands and laboring with his own hands, let's turn ahead to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 real fast here and kind of tie this, kind of look at some different, maybe different view of this passage than what has been traditionally taught. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now, Paul is going to, is writing here, and we're going to make a couple points here in a couple different verses, but we're going to start off in verse 7 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 7 through 9, please.
And he must have a good reputation with those outside the church.
Larry, I think you're in 1 Timothy. Those books get pretty close together back there anyway. Did I say 1 Thessalonians or 2? Okay.
Of all
Okay, and that can apply. I think you missed a chapter there, Larry. I think you're in chapter 2, weren't you?
I was in chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
Chapter 2. Is it checking 2 Thessalonians chapter 3? I'm sorry there.
3 times
in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. But hey, that passage does apply a little bit there. Maybe somewhat. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 7 and through 9, please.
For yourselves know how you ought to intimidate us, because we did not act in an unruly manner among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with the labor and hardship we kept working night and day so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have the authority, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you, so that you would intimidate us.
Okay. So thinking about this here now, just for a second, Paul talks first about they didn't want to act in an undisciplined manner among them. And he talks in verse 8, we didn't eat anyone's bread without paying for it. In verse 9, he specifies, it's not that we didn't have the right to. It's not that they didn't have a right to earn their living, if you will, from the message. Now, again, and that, I'm not going opening up that quite yet, because, I mean, the hiring and stuff like that, I don't think is really biblical. Supporting is different than hiring, but that's a different story here. But Paul is saying, even Paul himself is saying that we didn't even just freeload, basically. We weren't just freeloading, even though we had the right to be supported. We didn't just freeload because we wanted to be an example and a model for them, that they might follow their example. So if you think about that for a second, and in the context here, let's go ahead and read verse 10 and 11 now, then, of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3.
For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order: if anyone will not work, neither let him eat. For we hear that some among you leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies.
Okay. So in the context, when Paul is leading up to verse 10 and 11, now in verse 10 we've heard a lot, and it talks about, so don't work, shall not eat, and stuff, and that's something that's it's kind of commonly known. But it's taken as a legalist, it's viewed legally, as a legalist. A lot of people do it. And so you talk about, those who don't work don't eat. And I'm not saying that's not true, but if you're looking a little bit deeper at it, when Paul says in verse 11, he talks about, now we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting as busybodies. Now, I'm not saying that they were doing work. They probably weren't doing any work. But it's kind of like the covering the problem or covering the symptom. What's the problem? What's the symptom here? The doing, not doing the work is the symptom, not the problem. Something else is the problem that is leading to them not doing the work. And if the word for busybodies in verse 11 is, what do people think of when you think of a busybody? Busybody. Someone's involved in other people's business. Okay, and so maybe not worrying about their own. You have something else?
I picture two things. I picture the lady at the barber to the hair shop back in the day, and the guy at the coffee at the gas station, whatever.
They gossips.
Gossip.
Yeah. Okay. So they're always involved in someone else's business, maybe. You have something, Larry?
No.
Okay. That word is translated, it's probably not horrible, but the Greek word, when you look into the Greek word means to waste one's labor or to worry about the work of someone else instead of worrying about them. Now, it doesn't mean that they were working. I'm not saying that they were working here. They probably weren't, they weren't, because Paul is saying that they weren't. But what they were doing is that they were, instead of worrying about what they should be doing, instead of focusing on working on their stuff. They were worried about other things too much, and so they didn't put effort into working. So, for example, you could say that maybe if you have two employees and one employee is working, another employee is sitting there dictating how they work, we'll say. Okay, maybe they're worried about how that work's getting done instead of doing their own work. So they're not working, and really, in fact, aren't they still stealing from their boss? If they're not working and doing their own work, doing what they're supposed to be doing, they could be also, they're getting paid for doing something, but they're not doing it. They're worried about what everybody else is doing so much that they're not doing their own work. And so they're really stealing. They're really, as the way the word is, the Greek word for busybodies there, to waste one's labor. They're really wasting their labor. They're wasting the time of someone who's employing them. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. Luke 3, and John the Immerser here is talking. Luke's writing about John the Immerser and when he's preaching. And we're going to read in verse 11 through 14 of Luke chapter 3, please. Okay, so John here, when he's instructing these, John the Immerser, instructing these people, yeah, he talks about the food, okay, sharing, having a good heart, and that kind of deals with the end of our passage in Ephesians 4 today, but being able to share with others. But when it talks about, like, task gatherers, for example, what should we do? Well, collect no more taxes than what you've been ordered to. So what the task gatherers would do is that they would collect the taxes, and they padded their own pocket by whatever wage that they would have on top of that, on top of collecting the taxes for doing that. And so, I mean, and even now, even though we kind of, as a society, have been trained to view it differently, you think that the Roman Empire is going to foot the bill for the tax gatherers to collect taxes? Even though right now it's kind of like saying we don't like a sales tax, but then we want to add a gas tax. We just don't see the sales tax. It's because it's not on the receipt. It's still a sales tax. So how much gas you buy, still a sales tax. I mean, the government's not footing the bill for it. They're not footing the bill for it. They are still taxing it. So the Roman Empire is not footing the bill for the tax gatherers to gather taxes for them, because that's what's owed to them is what it would be. So they're not going to sit and just say, well, you know, we're going to spend 25% to gather of our 100%. No, they're going to get their 100%, and then on top of the 100%, they're going to, whatever the tax gatherers are going to get. And so that's what kind of you can kind of envision that a little bit there. And so John is saying, hey, don't collect anymore. Yeah, they're not saying they should work for free, but he's saying don't abuse the system. You know, and we look at that with task gatherers. Okay, well, I'm not a thief, so this doesn't apply to me. Or I'm not a task collector, so that doesn't apply to me either. Or what about a soldier? And it says in verse 14, he says, don't take money from anyone by force or accuse anyone falsely, and be content with your wages. See, what obviously there are some problems there, is that they would try and get some more money, and they might even take some money, because a soldier had kind of authority. I mean, we think that our police probably can be a little bit tyrannical. Probably, if you think of what a Roman soldier in the days of Rome, when you didn't have a republic, probably were a little bit worse. And so you think of what they're doing there, is they're taking money from people that really isn't their wages. He's saying, be content with your wages. So really, they are stealing. Now, that we categorize stealing as someone like who maybe is a bank fraud. Or, I mean, the olden days, you have the West, they robbed the banks, they robbed the stagecoach, they robbed the train or whatever, and those guys were the thieves. You know, there wasn't any credit card fraud back in those days, so that didn't happen. But now you got the people with credit card fraud or identity fraud or theft or whatever, or people that maybe just aren't honest, maybe with their time card at work. You know, an hour here and there doesn't really show up on the books, but it's still stealing an hour. And so you think about, well, I'm not a thief. I'm not one who steals. So why? I mean, man, there must have been a lot of thieves in Ephesus because Paul's writing about it. Well, maybe there is. The thief isn't what it always looks like. The thief isn't the robber who's sitting there robbing the bank. Maybe the thief is the people maybe not being quite as honest with stuff. Maybe they're too busy worrying about everyone else that they aren't getting their work done. So really, they are wasting their labor and getting paid for it. They're really not doing what they're supposed to be doing. So they're kind of stealing from their employer. Maybe they're taking a little bit more than as in the case of the task gatherers or the soldiers here, than what they were supposed to take. You know, because you aren't going to argue with the task gatherer. I mean, if you get a dollar or $100 more from, if you get $100 more from 250 people, what do you have? Another 25 grand. So, I mean, that's just what, if you do a little bit, you're stealing a little bit, taking a little bit from someone, then it doesn't show up as much, but it still is theft. And that can be not just someone who's in that position, but even that can apply to all of us, are we wasting time by doing things only to benefit ourselves? Because it can go back to, I'm just not going to put forth the effort. I'm going to get paid to do it. I'm not going to put forth the effort. Or maybe I'll take a little slower getting done. Something to think about. Turn to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. We're going to read here verse 8 and then in verse 14, please, of Titus chapter 3.
This is a trustworthy statement. And concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. Verse 14?
Yeah, please.
Yeah. So just like John, when John talked about in Luke 3 or John the Immerser, maybe it didn't exactly 100% apply like in that situation to what Paul was writing about there, although it probably could have more than what we think. But the principle is definitely there. And the principle here, okay, this maybe these engage in good deeds. Someone could say, well, maybe this is talking about being righteous. You know, being someone who is... maybe they're not, not really a thief. They don't hate someone. They actually are someone who is a good person. They're in good deeds. Maybe that could be talking about that. And even if it is talking about that, still you have the principle there. When Paul says, those who have believed and believe God may be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. And if you look at verse 14, he talks about, again, emphasizes engaging in good deeds to meet pressing needs that they may not be unfruitful. When you talk about meeting pressing needs, it's probably talking a little bit monetary, financial there for some needs that they might need to be met there with money. But when he says there, he follows it up, that they may not be unfruitful. That's definitely a spiritual reference there. And so you see the connection here. Your physical stealing, maybe wasting an hour of the boss's time or not doing something like we should be doing or not being a good steward of it, is going to have spiritual impacts. And so when Paul talks about, hey, engaging in good deeds, okay, you can maybe say it's talking about being righteous, And I'm not saying that it's not completely doing that, but I think if you, and you talk about engaging good deeds for the pressing needs, I think you can't exclude physical labor there, but how you deal with physical labor, and we have this principle throughout other parts of Scripture too, when Paul talks about slaves being good to your masters. Work for your masters as you're working for the Lord. Masters, be good to your slaves because you know you have a master in heaven. Like those principles there, it's your physical reaction to physical things is going to impact how you are spiritually. And so how they did their deeds or their work, if you will, was going to impact their spiritual fruitfulness. Because if they were being busybodies, as it talks about in 2 Thessalonians 3, or if they were maybe wasting the boss's time, maybe they weren't really doing what they should be doing, they maybe it impacted them spiritually. Because they started, if you're start doing something physically, and I guess I'll wait for that point because we're going to get to that point in a second, how that kind of crosses over. All right, let's turn back to the Old Testament. Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. Kind of got in the middle of a thought there and stopped, but just hold on for a second. So the one who doesn't engage in good deeds will be unfruitful. Whether that's, yes, it will be physically unfruitful, that's for sure. It could be. But also, for sure, I think is one thing we need to look at further is that they're going to be spiritually unfruitful if they aren't going to be engaging in good deeds physically or spiritually. They'll definitely be spiritually unfruitful. But Proverbs chapter 10, verse 26. Someone read that, please. Okay, turn to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. Verse 19.
The way of the lazy is a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway.
Okay, so if you think there for a second, so Proverbs 10, it talks about the let me read it here a second again. Just like vinegar is to the teeth and smoke to the eyes is what a lazy man is to the one who sends him. See, you're depending on someone to get the job done, maybe even paying that person to get the job done, and you can't rely on them, you can't count on them, because their work ethic is not there, and they're stealing. And if you look at in Proverbs 15, the way of the sluggard or the way of the lazy is like a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. So you talk about the hedge of thorns. There's a reason that it's referred to as a hedge of thorns. I mean, no one goes through a hedge of thorns unless it's all cut down out of the way. You don't just climb over it. It's not a picket fence or a good sturdy fence you can climb over. It is something that someone you can't get across. It's a roadblock. So the lazy one or the sluggard is really a thief and is a thorn to all who hire him. He's really the one who is getting paid for what he's doing, and he's a thief because he's not doing the job. Turn to back to Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6. And we're going to read in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 through 11.
Go to the ant, O sluggard, observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief officer or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. How long will you lie down, O sluggard, when will you arise from your sleep? O little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Your poverty will come in like a vagabond, and your want like an armed man.
Okay, so Solomon here compares the ant, and he's looking at the ant and giving the example here. The ant prepares, the ant makes provisions and gets prepared. The sluggard is lazy, and you remember the cartoon, I remember when I was little, the grasshopper and the ant, and it's the story. What's that called? No, well, not A Bug's Life, but it was really older than that. But the grasshopper, you know, played the fiddle all the time, and the ants were working and everything. I can't remember what that one was called, but anyway, so the grasshopper doesn't do anything, and then the ant works and prepares and everything. And then winter comes around, the grasshopper doesn't have anything to eat, but you know the ants are kind enough to let the grasshopper in, and they give him some soup or whatever. But the point is that the grasshopper didn't prepare. The ants did, and the lazy man doesn't prepare. And we're talking more about more than just physical preparation here, because as we'll see we'll talk about in a little bit here, it does have an impact spiritually. But so the point of the proverb here that Solomon's writing here, eventually, see, the poverty for the sluggard will come in like a man with a shield, and a man with a shield is someone, you know, you can hit your sword against the shield, but that man with the shield is trained. He's going to block your sword and overtake you. And so eventually, the laziness will catch up. Eventually, you know, yeah, it might be $10 here or there. Eventually, it catches up. I mean, it catches up with people a lot quicker if it's a lot bigger amount. But the smaller amounts, people think, well, it's just a small amount. So-called, and they justify it. This big corporation really owes me more of that. I mean, they have all kinds of money anyway, you know. And I'm not saying that the big corporation is not corrupt, or any people, or any just regular boss isn't corrupt. I'm not saying that not necessarily. But the point is that just because they might be corrupt or they might have a lot of money, it doesn't mean that we have to have a work ethic that, oh, we're still $10 here and there. And we don't call it stealing. We call it what it's owed me. Or we call it, I'm just, you know, not going to finish this job. I'll finish it tomorrow and I'll still get paid tomorrow to do the same thing that I could do today, but I'm not going to do it today. I'll still get paid today for not doing it. We don't call it stealing, but that's what it is. And the spiritual impact that has, it can be great. Turn to 1 Thessalonians now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 11 and 12 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So this is kind of in the middle of a thought here, but the point we're looking at is the idea that Paul is writing here about leading a quiet life and attending to your own business, not being the busybody, not being the one who worries about everybody else's work, but worrying about what we are doing. And because when he says that in verse 12, so that you may behave properly towards outsiders and not have be in any need. Now, that doesn't mean that Paul is, I mean, I understand people can get into situations. People can get financial situations, or people can be homeless or lack of food, and I understand some of that. But when you're, a lot of times, and it doesn't mean to sound heartless, but a lot of times people put themselves in those situations too. We talked about last week about don't put ourselves in a situation for failure, putting ourselves in a situation for victory. Don't give the devil an opportunity, because if we giving the devil an opportunity is putting ourselves in a situation for failure. If an alcoholic is still recovering, a situation for failure would be going into the bar. That'd be putting himself in a situation for failure instead of going home and putting himself in a situation for victory. Okay? And so when you're talking about even finances or physical work, sometimes people put themselves in a situation for failure. But I understand hardship does come, and there can be poverty, and there's written stuff written about that in the church, about in the New Testament, about the church having poverty. Not necessarily because they did this stuff, but because how they were treated. And I understand that can happen, but we have to do our best. That's what Paul is saying here. Make it our ambition to lead a quiet life and to attend to our own work, our own business, and work with our hands just as they commanded them. So do it our best. You know, I understand if the people persecute us, and I understand that there's situations there, but we also, if we're going to be the person that's going to be stolen or steal, don't be surprised when stuff's stolen from us. And doesn't mean if we don't do that, if we're good people, doesn't mean that we're not going to have stuff stolen from us either. I mean, but Peter says in 1 Peter 3, if we're persecuted for doing what is right or doing what is wrong, what benefit is that? If we're stealing, but then we're also persecuted by getting stuff taken away from us, there's no benefit in that. But if we're persecuted for doing what is right, then we have reward. So doing what is right, even if it's not fair, having the right mindset, because it doesn't just affect us physically. Because the physical stuff, again, it goes back a little bit to our mindset of where we're storing up treasure. But it affects us spiritually. Turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. So doing what is right consists of multiple things, but included in that is honest work. And it's, again, we'll get to the point towards the end of the study, but here in a second here, but honest work, if you look at it a legalist way, you're only going to focus on is physical. But honest work does carry over to the spiritual health. So in Acts chapter 20, verse 32 through 35, please. Okay, so Paul here is, and let's just focus a little bit on the end for a second here. Paul talks about, and even in the middle, I guess, because in verse 33, Paul says, "I've coveted no one's silver, gold, or clothes." He honestly worked, but he didn't desire the more and the more. Oh, someone has that something better than me, and I really have done a lot of work, so I probably should have a little bit more of, maybe a little bit more fruitful life, since I've put my life on the line and fought wild beasts at Ephesus and been persecuted and beaten and stoned. Maybe I should have been a little bit more for my labor. But you see, Paul was rewarded for his labor, but it wasn't monetarily. But he does have that mindset, though. Let's just say Paul wasn't the one who worked for himself. Maybe he was the one that did covet silver and gold and clothes. Maybe he was that kind of person. You see how that would have damaged him spiritually if he was that kind of person? But because he wasn't, because he was righteous in that, because he didn't covet that, his work ethic was right. So therefore, then if his work ethic was right, that did carry over spiritually. And it says in verse 35, the reason we know it's talking a little bit monetarily there, and because it just says it's more blessed to give than receive. And when it's talking about that, again, it's not just only talking, it's talking about the principle of someone who is able to do the work honestly. Because if someone doesn't do the work honestly, then they're not going to have, then they are going to covet. They're going to want the silver. They're going to want the clothes. They're going to want the gold. If we are lazy in our work, we rob it from someone. Doesn't matter where it is, it does rob from someone. And it does carry over spiritually. Turn to Luke chapter 16. A good work ethic will train us for a good spiritual work ethic. And vice versa. Bad work ethic trains us to have a bad spiritual work ethic. Luke chapter 16, 10 through 12, please. That's right. So, if we're talking about something something that's little, if we can't be faithful in the 15 minutes it takes to sweep the floor, and instead of just sitting down and getting paid for that 15 minutes, but then doing it tomorrow and getting paid again, if we can't be faithful in something as small as that, then how are we going to be faithful in something bigger? And see, this is where we talk about carrying over spiritually there, is that our work ethic, I mean, if Paul would have coveted, then Paul wouldn't have got rewarded spiritually, but Paul would have been the guy that probably would have slacked and probably would have caved because it would have been supported, and then to start, well, I had this, you know, it's pretty comfortable now, and what do you think if I said the right things, more people would support, and then I wouldn't be chased so much and persecuted so much and have to go through so many beatings or stonings. That's where the caving starts there. And that it all begins with the work ethic. See, Paul had the right to be supported, and I'm not saying that there's not times that he wasn't, maybe, but Paul worked with his hands. Paul had a good work ethic, and he didn't covet anybody's things. And because he had a good work ethic, it carried over spiritually. And if he, because he was faithful in something little, it carried over to something big. He could be trusted with something big. You think that people trusted Paul? Like they did. I mean, Paul didn't demand trust. Paul was packing money around to churches, gifts from other people. You think he would have been trusted to do that if he wasn't faithful in that? If his work ethic was horrible, I should probably get 10% of this. I should get a little bit of money since I'm packing it all around. Think he'd be faithful and trusted in that? And so the truth is that he was faithful and trustworthy, he didn't take that money. So since he was faithful in something small, he was able to be trusted with something big because of his work ethic. So go back to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 28. Let him who steals steal no longer, but rather let him labor, performing with his own hands what is good, in order that he may have something to share with him who has need. Now, to summarize it up, the stealing, and I think we kind of got the message here a little bit. Paul, there wasn't like a boatload of bank robbers in Ephesus that Paul is addressing here. It's people who are stealing without being the bank robber, if you will. People who are not being maybe, and I'm not saying that maybe there's people in Ephesus necessarily, but he's guarding against that. People being dishonest. People not working well. Having a poor work ethic and is going to carry over spiritually. Having a poor work ethic is going to end up in unfruitfulness. But having a good work ethic, being able to work well, providing for your own necessarily that someone couldn't support you, like in Paul's case, but having a good work ethic to be trusted with something little And not stealing because, well, I really could be owed that. You know, they really should appreciate me more. You know, I do a lot for them, bring a lot of business to them. They could appreciate me a little bit better. Eventually, that reward may come, and eventually a reward will come spiritually if we have the correct work ethic. But eventually, if we don't, it is going to catch up with us sometime. Might be down the road a ways, and we see a lot of people who are cheating the system and doing things, but eventually that's going to catch up. Even in the ranching business, all of a sudden when you're paying out a couple hundred bucks a head, everybody had 1,000 cows instead of just 300. You know, and people did that. And so when that happens, eventually that's going to catch up with them. Well, you have 1,000 cows. You said you had 1,000 cows back here. When it comes tax time, where's 1,000 cows now? And it's not just there. That's been happening more than just in the cattle industry for a long time. I mean, that's a problem with taxation and having the government give out things. But the point is that people can be dishonest. And the government allows them to. But we have the choice whether we want to be dishonest or honest. I'm not saying that taking a check from the government is wrong. I'm not saying that's stealing here necessarily. I'm saying is, are we honest about it? Are we doing what is right? Because if we don't do what is right, that's going to carry over spiritually. If we're stealing from something, even though we're not robbing a bank, we're still stealing from someone. Someone's got to pay for it. And that's going to carry over spiritually. And that's what Paul is addressing here, I think. He's not just addressing someone who has been robbing the bank and in prison. He's addressing people not stealing, but performing work with his own hand what is good in order that he might have something to share with someone in need. Doing work and being fruitful in it. We must have a pure and honest heart. If not, we're going to steal even if we aren't a so-called robber. That's all. Anybody have any comments on that?
Anybody else?
Okay, well, we will stop there and we'll pick up in 2 weeks in Ephesians.